Being normal robs me of the chance to be extraordinary. Being normal robs me of the chance to be extraordinary. And we have here on our notes, being normal robs me of the change to be extraordinary. But actually, I believe it's more meant to be the chance. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing, here in Campo, California, with the Absolute Philosopher. And the Absolute Philosopher brings you this concept. Being normal robs me of the chance to be extraordinary. Now, why does being normal rob me of the chance to be extraordinary? Because if I am normal, I am what most people do. Now, what do most people do? Most people are half-assed. They go halfway. And they're the 50 percenters. They're the ones who are the C students. They're the ones who are the normal, ordinary people. They haven't found their place in life, their niche in life. And so they just go along with whatever life presents them with. Now, inside of every normal person is an abnormal person. Sounds interesting, doesn't it? Inside of every normal person is a sparkling, extraordinary, outstanding, remarkable person. But he will stay inside the normal person until something comes along to test him. Now, drugs and alcohol have been used to release the normal person and have him be extraordinary. However, when the normal person releases their extraordinary self, their extraordinary self usually is not very pleasant. It's not very beneficial. We want to release our extraordinary self and have it be beneficial. Now, the way we have it be beneficial is for us mentally, totally with our mind and our thinking, to be in charge. Now, we were talking about Edgar Cayce the other day, how he went into a trance sleep state and he gave answers on medical questions which were quite significant. And no one can say that it's not a most interesting thing and the most marvelous thing. However, Edgar Cayce cheated himself. He cheated himself by not being that extraordinary person in his Edgar Cayce self. And this is what we do oftentimes. We allow ourselves in the excitement of the moment to really have a lot of fun. And then when the moment's over, we say, gee, that was a lot of fun. Oh, it'd be nice to repeat that. But you can't, because you weren't present. You were with the group. You were with the mob. You were with the theater. You were watching the movie. A person goes in to watch a movie and they're very sad. And little by little, they're taken over by the movie. And pretty soon they're laughing and smiling. And then they say, oh, I'm sorry, I shouldn't be laughing. I shouldn't be smiling. Because, I'm really feeling terrible. But I shouldn't be laughing. And if nobody was around to watch them, they'd laugh their heads off. But because somebody's around to watch them, they have put on a show saying they're unhappy, and then people look over at them and say, you're not unhappy anymore. You're doing just fine. But I am unhappy. I am. You fight for it, you know. And this is silly. We hide our real self. And our real self sometimes bounces through when we least expect it. And it is wonderful. Now, you take a writer, and a writer is writing a fictional novel. And he's got umpty-dum characters in there and situations and all sorts of things. In his mind, he has the picture. Now, the writer knows he wants the good guy to win. Okay? He knows he wants the bad guy to lose. But in writing the story, he gets so enticed with the imagination and the creativity of the bad guy, he sometimes makes the bad guy even seem good. And he is sometimes is taken up with it. And then toward the end, whoops, I'm supposed to make the good guy look good, you know. And so then he's got to readjust his thinking and find some chinks in the bad guy, some Achilles heel, and find some chinks in the bad guy that he can tear him down. And so the good guy is the one who's going to find those chinks. Well, now the writer, he knows the good guy and he knows the bad guy, so he can put the thoughts together to make the story to be what he wants it to be. And so he has the good guy winning, maybe by a hair's tooth, you know, but maybe not. Maybe he has him winning by a great margin. And maybe he has him winning because the good guy is so good. He wants the bad guy not to be bad anymore. He wants the bad guy to wake up. And so the good guy is always trying to make the bad guy wake up, make the bad guy reconsider his actions. And the good guy is considered bad because he's helping the bad guy be good. And this creates a problem. Well, now, the good guy can become an extraordinary fellow and just overwhelmingly take over the situation so no harm comes to anybody while he's working with this guy trying to get him back on his feet. And the bad guy might be bad and might do some silly thing like run off a cliff or some other silly thing like go and rob a house and sit in the house and watch television until the police come because he wants to go back to jail. Now, this is not an unusual thing. It's not a strange thing. This happens quite often. It's amazing how many criminals want to be caught. They place themselves right in harm's way, just like our friend Roger. He was so upset when he got out on parole, you know, that his whole life didn't fall together the way it should have. And so what did he do? He got some drugs and went in the park and took them. And in the park, the police came and took him. Now, he didn't go privately. He didn't go where he could go through the experience and be done with it. But he went there because he wanted to be caught. Now, people do this. People want to be caught. Now, being normal robs me of the chance to be extraordinary. If we're going to continually, hey, that's none of my problem. That's your problem. That's your world. That's your concern. That's none of my problem. That's none of my problem. I don't want to get involved in your life. I don't want to get involved in your problem. You're already involved. You're already involved. And you're already absolutely responsible. And you are dumping your responsibility. Now, what is our responsibility? Our responsibility is to see all in the world we create as being beautiful. Right?
Right.
So if this person is in our world and not being beautiful, we create him being beautiful in our world.
Right.
If this person has an illness or a broken leg or something, we say, I see you whole and perfect. And we see them whole and perfect. We don't say, I see you whole and perfect. Now let's get you to the doctor before you bleed to death. You see, we're not doing the job. Now, we can say, I see you whole and perfect, and then take them to the doctor because we have not the consciousness to see them whole and perfect. But we keep working on them. You will keep having opportunities to see people whole and perfect. You'll keep having the opportunities to learn to speak your word until one day something will come along that is so horrendous, so difficult, and so bad that if you don't immediately speak your word, all is in divine order, and it's over with. You see, that's what you're practicing for. You're not being tested, you're being fortified. We're building up the consciousness whereby should anything come our way, we instantly see it whole and perfect. Now, you say, well, why would anything come our way? Because you still have it in your consciousness. You still have it in your consciousness, and you want to build up that extraordinary self of yourself of doing it. Now, You walk the path here. You meditate. Now, do you say, all is in divine order? Or do you say, why is it that they didn't do this for me? Now, why is it that this didn't work out? Now, why is it that that didn't work out? And why is it that that shitty person is giving me such a hard time, you know? You know? You do that. And then you think, I am whole and perfect. I am without flaw. I am wonderful. Now, that's great. But you got to put the two together. You got to be wonderful, and you got to see everybody else wonderful, too. And you got to see yourself wonderful. If you don't see yourself wonderful, forget it. You are not only ordinary, you're subordinary. And if you don't see the rest of the world fantastic, you're ordinary. If you don't see the world at peace, you see, we cannot make the world at peace. We don't have prayers of peace and peace pilgrimages and stuff like that. What we do, it's done unto you according to your belief. And don't you believe what Jesus said? Don't you believe it? I mean, you go around acting like a bunch of idiots, you know. You say, let's get together and everybody pray for peace and then bring peace on earth. Well, hey, in your consciousness, are you at peace? Do you see peace on earth? If you start seeing peace on earth, poof, it's done. You will be totally unaware of anything other than peace. Or let's put it this way, you'll be totally aware of peace. And that's what is. Now, did it take a bunch of people all around the world speaking their word for the astronauts who were stuck up in space? And the radio announcer said, let's pray for them. It just took one. Now, who do you think that one was?
Me.
The radio announcer. It was him. Because he spoke his word. All is in divine order. And then everybody else says, okay, I'll go along with you. I'm going along. I'm not bringing the astronauts down. I'm going along with you that all is in divine order. So we have to be peace if we want peace on earth. We have to be wholeness if we want health and wholeness in our being. We have, you see, all of this stuff, going out and praying for people. I'm not an alcoholic. I'm not an alcoholic. I'm not an alcoholic. I pray for peace. I pray for peace. I pray for peace. I pray for peace. There's no peace. There's no peace because we're praying for it. If we say, there is peace on earth, and it began with me, it's done. It's done. I'm whole and perfect. It's done. Everything in my world is in order. It's done. You see, if we're going to follow the teachings of Jesus or the Buddha or Confucius or whoever else along the way, they're all teaching the same thing. If we're going to follow that pure, wonderful psychology, then we will get the results. But if we don't follow it, we will get the results of whatever it is we're fighting. Fight for your limitations and they are yours. Remember that?
Yeah.
Fight for your limitations and they are yours. Why are we fighting for our limitation? People come to me and they say, Herb, you don't know what my problem is. And I said, but don't tell me. I said, because if I know what your problem is, I'll say, enjoy. Swim in your problem. And just tell me your solution. Hey, what a great solution. Fantastic. Wow, it's done. You see? Now, I say this, and still you come to me with your problems. Well, one day you won't. One day you will come to me and you'll say, boy, life's great. I'll say, yes. Boy, isn't everything wonderful? Yes. I'm surrounded by super, super people. Yes. Me, you know. I'm wonderful. You're wonderful. Everything is fantastic. Everything is glorious. Everything is good. Do you understand the principle?
Yes.
If we're going to use the principle, let's use it 100% and be extraordinary. Being normal robs me of being extraordinary. Now, I deal with so many people who say they're Christians, and yet they say, if people don't follow Jesus the way they teach it in their church, they won't make it. and that there's only a few million who are going to go to heaven. The rest are not going to make it, you know. How do they know that, you know? And, well, that's what the Bible told them. Well, you know, you can read anything you want in the Bible, pro or con. It's all there. And if you say to me, Herb, I'm sick. And I say, I see you whole and perfect. Herb, I'm sick. I see you whole and perfect. Herb, I'm sick. I see you whole and perfect. Herb, I'm sick. You are really sick. Get out of here. I don't want you contaminating my environment. Go, you're sick. I don't want to see you anymore. You're sick. Get out of my world. And you say, Herb, that's terrible. No. I say to you, I will tell you the truth about yourself three times. And if you don't choose to act upon it, then I'll say, whatever you choose to act upon is what you can have. And if that's what you want, go for it. If you don't want it, then don't go for it. But get your bloated nothingness out of the divine circuits. You get your bloated nothingness in the way of the divine circuits, how can the divine circuits work? You know? And the divine circuits are willing to give you garbage or glory.
Glory.
Now, what do you want?
Glory.
God sedunk. Okay. It's a wonderful day. Here we are, 16 minutes. Fantastic. Being normal robs me of the change to be extraordinary, of the chance to be extraordinary, and I am not about to be robbed in the slightest. I love you, 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 I love you.